Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstormin' with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara County. We're live every day Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock, or you can hear us streaming over the internet at brainstorminonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme I'll get to in just a minute, but I want to announce the results of last week's poll and talk to you about this week's poll. Last week I asked a simple yes-no question. The question was, will the California primary be meaningful in determining the GOP candidate in the 2012 presidential election? And the results are in. You remember earlier in this week the results were running 50-50. People couldn't decide. The final results are these. People that think that, yes, it will make a difference, 42% of those responding to the survey. People that think that it will not make a difference, that the presidential candidates will already be decided by the time California's election comes around, 58%. So 42 to 58% are the results of this week's poll. Next week's poll is already up on my website, brainstorminonline.com, and I ask a quality of life question. And this is a real head-scratcher. This is a thought-provoking one. Which would you rather have? Would you rather have a daughter of easy virtue, meaning if she's the class slut, or would you rather have a daughter that has no friends at all? Go up and cast your vote on my website, brainstorminonline.com, and I'll announce the results on next Thursday's show. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Stilling the Spirit. Each of my guests will talk about stilling the spirit and the benefits that come from that. My first guest has been clinically dead for 28 minutes and then had three of the most complete near-death experiences ever recorded. We'll discuss the things everyone should know before they go from his book, Saved by the Light. My second guest has experienced a release of his own, a weight release. We'll discuss his powerful new process of weight loss that helped him shed 70 pounds from his book, Weight Release, A Liberating Journey. My third guest is the world's quietest, most thoughtful former corporate lawyer. We'll discuss the power of introverts in a world that just can't stop talking from her book titled Quiet. And if you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Danianne Brinkley is an internationally renowned author and speaker in the field of spirituality, self-development, and complementary and alternative medicine. He's the author of three internationally best-selling books, Saved by the Light, At Peace with the Light, and The Secrets of the Light. He's appeared on hundreds of television and radio shows, and in 1994, his New York Times best-selling book, Saved by the Light, VHS, was the highest-rated-for-television movie of all time on the Fox network. Damien has personal experience of enduring unimaginable pain and multiple near-death experiences. Get this, he was struck by lightning twice, he's had open-heart surgery and a ruptured subdural hematoma, and had brain surgery and a massive grand mal seizure. He's been clinically dead, as I said, for 28 minutes, and has three of the most near-death experiences ever recorded. Danian's near-death experience and paranormal lifestyle reviews have ingrained in him a sense of service and compassion. He has been a hospice volunteer for 33 years. He's been active for more than 20 years in educating legislators and policymakers about the value of complementary therapy and urging research in a wider area. He's received the President's Lifetime Achievement Award for outstanding volunteer service and numerous other awards as well. Joining us from South Carolina, Danian, how are you today?
I'm doing absolutely great, Bill, and thank you for such a terrific introduction.
Well, I'm just setting the table because most people may not know your name as a household name, but certainly your experiences bring things to the forefront. It's amazing. And I just want to start with the odds of being struck by lightning are literally one in a million. That's according to U.S. government statistics. You were struck twice. The odds of that are infinitesimally small. So at some point, did you feel that the universe was trying to get back at you?
Well, I think what it is I'm a slow learner. You know, I'm from the South. And I think that I didn't get it the first time. After lifting out of my body and going down the tunnel and going to the place of light and understanding there's no such thing as death and that death is insanity, the way we view it, coming from a fundamentalist Southern background where everybody goes to hell where I come from, and that never really happened. And then I came back, and I learned to live that there are multiple dimensions and that we are far more magnificent of beings than we've ever given ourselves credit. And if I didn't go to hell, no one else was going. And then what happens to just you when you humanize again? It took me 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself. I was dead for 28 minutes. I was completely paralyzed for 6 days, partially paralyzed for 7 months. It took me 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself.
Wow.
And so I had a chance to think it through, and I would keep going back into these worlds for the first couple of years. And then when I finally got back into this world, I began to see the hypocrisy, and I began to resent so many people who had power over other people because of the fear of the unknown. And then when you look at death, quote unquote, you have, if you're going to hell, we don't know what's next. We don't know what will happen. And now, because of the advancements of cardiopulmonary resuscitation and many chemicals or drugs, then we see and witness so much pain at the end of life. It's why I'm such an advocate of complementary and alternative medical integrative policy. I believe in allopathic medicine, but I also believe that the integration of complementary makes all the difference. And I think I just got to resent the world as I see it, Bill, and I see the hypocrisy. And so I figured that those beings of light said, well, we better kill him again and well, make sure he gets it.
And it happened not once, not twice, but four different times. I mean, not to say that you're a slow learner, but after the first time, wasn't that enough to bring you to some of these revelations?
It would appear that it was not, Bill. The legacy speaks for itself, but each time was a continuation. Each of these events, you know, it would literally, after the standard things of lifting out of your body, acclimating, going to the tunnel, meeting everyone that you've ever met, all your pets, anything that's ever loved you or anything that you've ever loved comes to join you. And then the panoramic life review. This was the greatest learner because in each of these experiences, I have become to learn that I've become a better person, although I still appear to be the same, because I started out as a complete jerk, mostly self-centered, tough guy, you know, sport, fighting, Marine Corps, that kind of A-type personality, to a hospice volunteer. You know, I'm now 27,000 hours and 2,004 people passing and 420 taking their last breath. So I'd have to say there is nothing about this process that I don't know. And what happens to you is you find a compassionate perspective and you lose the fear. My driving ambition to give people enough data and to ask questions to reduce that fear of death so that we empower living. This life is the greatest rare opportunity that we have as spiritual beings coming in the human form. And I want people to celebrate it and to learn the co-creativity and the capability of themselves while they're living here and do not fear something that does not happen.
All right, Daniel.
No one will die.
I want to challenge you on a couple of things because if you went through this experience, and I've read the book Saved by the Light, you went through this experience, you had all of these wonderful experiences as you were passing through before you came back, and it was very euphoric. It was a wonderful, as I said, a wonderful experience. Could it be said that being in our corporal bodies is actually hell and that moving or releasing from our corporate bodies through death is actually heaven?
Well, I don't believe that in the corporal body is hell.
Okay.
Because there is nothing in the universe, Bill, that qualifies that. I have found nothing. This is an opportunity. You polarize. You become separate. We have positive and negative. We have male and female, good and evil, light and dark. These are concepts that don't exist in the other dimensions. You know, in Genesis it says there are seven heavens. Well, I don't know which one of those heavens I went to. But life is about opportunity. And this life is a privilege. A spiritual being, being able to incorporate in a limited sphere with basic fears of that you can be hurt. You know, you can have your feelings hurt, you can break your leg, you can cut your finger, and you create these subjective fear modalities. And then you create for yourself obstacles. You know, the worst part about a spiritual being is it believes that there is nothing that it can get itself into that it cannot figure out how to get itself out of. And that's what this life is about. Looking at the obstacles and setting an intention and a goal to overcome and achieve them, because no one thought that I would ever walk again, and I was my first hospice patient. They just sent me home.
My guest is Danny N. Brinkley, author of the book Saved by the Light, The True Story of a Man Who Died Twice and the Profound Revelations That He Received. Danny, I just want to shotgun a couple of real quick questions at you. Before you had your first near-death experience, did you believe in God or an afterlife?
I grew up in fundamentalism. I not only didn't believe in it, I didn't care about it.
Mm.
And when you're 25 years old and under and have been through what I had been through and survived, you know, I'm a combat Marine.
Yes.
Then you don't think about that stuff. And all that eternal damnation business never really ever caught on with me, because I would listen to people talk about that if you did not love God, God was going to condemn you. And if you didn't give your love to something or follow a certain creed, you were going to burn eternally. Well, once you've had this experience, your love is all you have. Your love is all you are. And if anything thinks it can threaten me into loving it, well, let it have a good time. So I don't live by fear. You know, I always laugh and say, well, what are they going to do, kill me? Well, big deal.
Been there, done that, right?
Yeah, and once you have that kind of experience, and once you begin to appreciate the divinity by which everything is organized, and why we have crisis and stuff, quote-unquote, most of it's self-driven because of greed. But this is the way that you can co-create. I love hospice work because I can make a difference in that person's life and give their life value. And the Twilight Brigade, which is thetwilightbrigade.com, is an organization I created to teach people to deal with these issues, because people don't care what the weather is when they're experiencing their last hours on this earth. They want to know that their life had value. They want to know that they will be remembered. They want to know that they made a difference. And so I've developed techniques so that families don't just sit around and stare at the wall and talk about the weather and stuff. People don't want to hear that garbage.
All right. My guest is Danny N. Brinkley. Danny, the skeptic in me now has to ask this question, but how do we know that what you experienced wasn't some sort of an hallucination or maybe your brain's reaction to the trauma that you'd experienced in these near-death experiences?
I thought the same thing, Bill. Remember, when this happened to me, there was no such thing. I'm from South Carolina, okay? There was no place for it to fit into the religious concept. So I thought the same thing. I've spent years. Then Raymond Moody's book, Life After Life, came out, and I tracked him down because he's a Georgia boy. And I have studied this. You know, I'm not a casual, I'm an obsessive compulsive personality. And so I have studied this, oxygen brain deprivation, temporal lobe seizures, frontal lobe seizures, oxygen to the brain, all these chemically induced concepts. Well, I'm not going to argue, Bill, that some of these, what people call near-death experiences, are those reactions. But what you want to do is, what did the person do for the next 6 months after they had this experience? What did they do? That will tell you whether it moved them. I went from the meanest SOB to a reasonably compassionate person. and have now spent my life helping other people deal with it. I know the difference between a near-death experience, and I think the fact, Bill, that so many people have this term created by Raymond, NDE, that they house whatever experience they have. Like I hear people who overdose and all this stuff and have a drug, ayahuasca, euphoria. Well, they have a name now that they can place it in. But I have looked at each of these medical paradigms, and some of them fit the bill, okay? And I can accept that there is a possibility that some of people's experience it. But I've watched this from myself. I've looked at the chart. I've looked at the medical report, and after 28 years of studying it, watching people come back from these experiences who were diehard in one religious perspective and seeing the change, I can tell. So I'm not going to say that some of the experiences that people describe are what medicine says, but by far, most of these are true experiences of not only who we are, but the process, how we go from this world to the next.
My guest,
you have to lose this fear.
My guest is Danyon Bailey. And Danyon, this is intriguing stuff. And you're coming here to Southern California. So if people are intrigued by what you have to say, you've actually got a gig. You'll be speaking at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo. Your topic, they tell me, is going to be What Death Can Teach You About Life. That's going to be Saturday, February the 11th from 4 to 5:30 p.m. in the La Jolla Ballroom of the LAX Hilton Hotel. Tell us just briefly what you'll be talking about at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo.
Well, a lot of it is, I have a brief little speech that I put together that tells the history of me. And then I have a new book I'm writing called 10 Things You Need to Know Before You Go. And the co-caption is, Aspire to Inspire Before You Expire.
Love it. I absolutely love it.
I just make fun of everything because I have no fear-based reality. I know that this is a joy to live. And mostly it's about people asking questions. You know, I know a lot of stuff, Bill, about a lot of things that deal with this concept. And we, who are the baby boomers, we are facing it. You know, baby boomers was the largest expanded population in Western history. And there's like 81 million of us today that's in our late 50s, 60s, and early 70s. We are facing this issue. And if we don't come together, looking at where the new healthcare programs are and death panels and all the religious concepts that we're having to deal with and terrorism, if we don't have a place to sit down and ask honest, legitimate questions in a very safe, protected environment to get a grip on this, we are failing our brothers and sisters. And I have spent 35 years at this. And the last person I was with who left this world was last Thursday, a week ago today.
Wow.
That was my 421st person. When you have only hours to live, that's when it matters. And I want people to be able to come and ask questions. I'll tell you something, too. I like these expos. You know, I like to walk around and look and see because there's a lot of good people there. Greg Braden is there, David Childress, George Norrie from Coast to Coast. And it's a very eclectic group, a chance to break free from our normal, boring routine and get a chance to walk through different ideas and concepts in hopes of expanding our belief system to better encompass the beautiful, magnificent spiritual beings that we are, as opposed to the poor, pitiful, suffering humans that we think we are.
My guest has been Danyon Brinkley. He is the author of the book, Saved by the Light, and he's also going to be speaking at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo on Saturday, February the 11th. Danyon, you are always a wealth of knowledge. I love the way in which you present the material. Thank you so much for being my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
And, Bill, thank you for having your radio show to give people the opportunity like me to talk to our own kind, our own friends, and to help further their education.
Now, believe me, the pleasure has been mine, Danyon. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, sir.